first round playoff matchup is set. Brad Stevens is going to be here for a long time, and I've got leftover mailbag questions on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here, Boston Celtics beat reporter for MassLive.com. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. All of you regular listeners, here for you Monday through Friday. If you're not a regular listener, then subscribe so you can get this show Monday through Friday delivered to your device, whatever it is, Spotify, you can follow us there. On Android, you can use whatever app you want. On an Apple phone, you can go to iTunes. We exist everywhere. The Locked On Celtics podcast, here for you Monday through Friday. Also, buy my book. I wrote a book, which is probably a mistake by the publishers, but I wrote a book anyway, and it's called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the C's. You can get that book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or independent booksellers, wherever you get your books. It's available now for pre-order. It drops in December. In this show, segment one, the Boston Celtics are going to play the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll talk about that in just a second. Brad Stevens gets an extension for an undetermined amount of time, but I assume it's a long time. Talk about that in segment two. Segment three, leftover mailbag questions. Let's do those because there were about three or four that I didn't get to in the mailbag show. I'll do those now. But let's just start with the playoff matchup. The Boston Celtics are going to face the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round of the playoffs. First of all, by the way, before I do this, this episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Go to rockauto.com to get anything you need for your car. Okay, now, Celtics, Sixers, first round playoff matchup, the third seed Celtics versus the sixth seed Sixers. Probably before the season started, you would have said, okay, Celtics Sixers, third-seeded Sixers, sixth-seeded Celtics. Sure, that makes sense. But the Celtics have done better than I think everybody expected. The Sixers were definitely worse than everybody expected. And here we are. And this was originally going to be a disaster matchup, right? Celtics Sixers was not the matchup anybody wanted. And it's still, I think, the worst of the matchups. But just because Embiid is probably the best of the players that is available to play, like his potential is better than anything Jimmy Butler can do. His potential is better than anything Victor Oladipo can do. So he's still the best individual player, and that makes Philly the most dangerous team. And I think that this ends up being an okay matchup for the Celtics, even though Embiid is Embiid. But if the things that I'm about to say end up not being true, and Embiid does things that I don't expect him to do, because he is a star player, then this could go poorly for the Boston Celtics. Like I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, all rah rah, and say the Celtics in four or five. I'm not going to say it's not four or five. It could be, but it's certainly possible that Joel Embiid can be a problem. They do not have Ben Simmons, and I've talked about this before. They do not have Ben Simmons. And so let's look at the net effect of this. Not having Ben Simmons does a bad thing and a good thing for the Sixers. Not having Ben Simmons is bad because he is their best defender. He is an elite wing defender. And whichever play, he can guard anybody on the Celtics. He can, you can put him on Daniel Tice and then say, all right, we're going to have Simmons roam like a free safety and help off of Daniel Tice and take your chances. Because if I'm playing the Celtics, I'll say Daniel Tice is going to beat us offensively. You can do that. He can easily guard Daniel Tice. He could also guard Kemba Walker. He can also guard Jason Tatum. And so not having that flexibility takes away a lot on the defensive end, and that really, really hurts the Sixers, no doubt about it. However, look at how the Celtics have beaten the Sixers in the past. They have sagged off of Ben Simmons and dared him to shoot, and he refuses to shoot. So his refusal to shoot has hurt the Sixers. And, you know, I heard Brian Scalabrine talking about, and this is not a exclusive to Scal. A lot of people say this. Why do we look at things that players can't do? Why don't we focus on things that players can do? Because Ben Simmons, the things that he can't do are also things that he refuses to do, and he refuses to really work on or unveil. He just... his refusal to shoot and his refusal to even try to get hot from outside of 10 feet, that hurts the Sixers because he is no threat whatsoever. You do not have to guard him. And there's a photo, I probably tweeted this out 2 years ago when the Celtics beat the Sixers, of Al Horford hanging 15 feet back of Ben Simmons because he knows Simmons isn't going to shoot. He does not want to shoot. He's not going to. So how does that impact the Sixers? It's not just that Simmons won't shoot. It's that the guy guarding Simmons can kind of hang close to Joel Embiid, and eventually once Embiid gets the touch, that guy, Simmons' guy, comes off and doubles, and you just know that you can pack the paint, you can make things hard, and without Simmons on the offensive end, and you throw Al Horford into the starting lineup, and Shake Milton is a starter, well, those guys can shoot the three. And I don't have Al Horford's numbers this season in front of me, but I'm telling you that I don't believe what he's doing in Philly. I don't believe the depressed numbers. I don't think that's just a function of him just getting a year older. I think that's a fit thing. And without Simmons there, and if they can make that work, and also Al has been notorious over the past few years of regular season kind of coasting a little bit and playoffs stepping it up. So I'm also afraid of Al Horford. And so Al Horford in the starting lineup, Shake Milton, who's a good three-point shooter in the starting lineup. Now you're surrounding Joel Embiid with a bunch of shooters. You have to respect their shot. Now you give Joel Embiid time and space to work. And the hardest thing for a team to do defensively is let one of their players get killed one-on-one. But this, and I've said this a ton, and I'm going to say it again, this is like the 2008-09-10 Celtics playing the Orlando Magic with Dwight Howard, who would kill people in the post, but let Perk defend Dwight one-on-one and just do not overreact to anything that's happening there. Whoever is guarding Joel Embiid, have that person work hard. Do not overreact to that, because I firmly believe that the Celtics can hold the rest of the Sixers to less than 50 points. And so it doesn't matter if Embiid gets 50 points himself. He could average 50 for the series. I don't care. The Celtics have, I don't know what the new numbers are, but either the most potent offense of the bubble or one of the most potent offenses of the bubble. I feel like they can score more than 100 points per game in a series. And the way they've been moving the ball, the way Tatum's been hitting shots, the way Jaylen Brown's been hitting shots, Gordon Hayward's playing like he's back in Utah. Kemba's like the fourth best player offensively right now, which is insane because he could easily in any game be the best offensive player for the Celtics. I feel like they can go out there and put up 110, 115, 120 a night. Not a problem for these guys. Even with Philly's defense, I think this team, with the ball movement they've been displaying, if they can keep doing that, they can put up 110, 115. And if you hold Philly to 100, then you're cruising. So if Embiid gets 50, fine. Do not let him get assists. And the other Embiid thing is he going to be able to have the gas to finish this game? If the Celtics are making his life hard, and if he has to work, and even just like I said, okay, fine, he has to work, and you cover him individually, and he scores whatever he's scoring, he still has to work to get those points. Then what does he do in the fourth quarter? Is he going to rely on his three-point shooting? Because we've seen that a ton where he's gassed, he punches himself out, and then in the fourth quarter, it's time to start shooting threes because he does not want to get into the post. He does not want to get down there and get dirty. He does not want to do that because he's gassed. So there is a give and take for the Sixers, and there will be, I think, the first half, maybe even the first three quarters, will be fights. I think the Celtics have the ability to pull away, and I think the Celtics have the ability to neutralize. Like, Philly is not a great three-point shooting team, so keep them out of rhythm. The worst thing that they can do is overreact to Joel Embiid and let Milton, let Tobias Harris, let Al Horford, let all of those guys get into rhythm, because when those guys get into rhythm, they can hit 4, 5, 6 shots in a row. That's not unquestionable. Don't overreact to Embiid. Keep those guys off their rhythm. Embiid does what he does. Let the other guys struggle. Stay home. Stay disciplined. I think the Celtics can win this series and move on to the second round. Those are my thoughts there. Up next, Brad Stevens extension. And honestly, has a little bit more to do than just his coaching ability. That's next. What you need to do is go to rockauto.com if you need anything for your car. And when I say anything, it could be something complicated for your engine. If you're a do-it-yourselfer and you know how to fix an engine, especially in one of these modern cars, good for you. RockAuto.com is the place to go. If you're like me, you just need some windshield wipers, maybe some motor oil, a new carpet, RockAuto.com. Very easy, and that's going to be your best price. Did you know that a professional mechanic can walk into one of these chain stores at whatever strip mall and get a different price for the same part than you? That doesn't make any sense. It's the same part. Why should there be two different price tiers? Did you know that these chain stores will fluctuate their prices on these pieces based on what the market will bear, like an airline ticket? That's not right. Go to rockauto.com. They always offer the lowest prices possible. They do not change their prices. There is no membership required. There's no login required. The price is the price for you, for me, for that guy rebuilding that classic car, for that guy who knows how to get around a Tesla. All of those, it's the same price. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers for 20 years online. So if you go to rockauto.com, you're going to be able to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The catalog is unique. It's easy to navigate, and you can see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands and specifications and price that you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the prices available and all the parts available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can even follow us on Spotify. Brad Stevens got an extension on Wednesday. The terms were not disclosed, so we do not know how long he is under contract or how much money he's making, but I'm going to assume that it is both a few years and quite a few million dollars, because Danny Ainge loves Brad Stevens, and Brad Stevens has become one of the best coaches in Celtics history. He was hired in 2013, so now this has been 7 years on the job, and it's weird, 7 years on the job, but like this is his seventh season. His win-loss record is 318 and 245 in the regular season, and that is good for fourth most of any Celtics coach in franchise history. And now that he's under contract for at least a few more years, at 318 wins, if he averages 50 wins over the next two seasons, which is possible, he will pass Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers has 416. So all Brad needs is, 98 wins to tie him, 99 to pass him. So I say all he needs. But look, the Celtics are obviously coming up, and it's not going to be out of the question for the Celtics to win 50 games next year, the year after, the year after that. Obviously, you don't know. It all depends on luck and injuries and whatever. But I will say it's pretty likely that at some point in the next 2 years, maybe three, that Brad Stevens will not only pass Doc Rivers, Tommy Heinsohn's at 427. So in 3 years from now, somewhere within 3 years from now, Brad Stevens will become the second winningest coach in Boston Celtics history, which is significant. I mean, passing Tommy Heinsohn. Tommy Heinsohn is a Hall of Fame player and a Hall of Fame coach. Brad Stevens, if he in 3 years gets to 427, then beyond that, he could probably, I'm assuming, over the life of this contract, get to 500 wins, which will make him a Hall of Fame NBA coach. When you get to 500 wins in the NBA, you're going to be a Hall of Fame NBA coach. There's no doubt about that. Now, what he doesn't have yet is the championship that Doc has, or the championships, plural, that Tommy Heinsohn has as a coach. Will he be here long enough to catch Red Auerbach and his 795 wins? I mean, just that would be cool for anybody to be anywhere to get that number of wins. That would be amazing. He'll never catch the number of championships that Red Auerbach won, because obviously Red Auerbach was, aside from the 2 years that Bill Russell was the player coach, Red Auerbach was the at the helm of all of those Celtics championships through the 60s. So I don't think Brad Stevens is going to win more than, you know, three or four championships, if he even wins one or two, because in today's NBA, it's very difficult. I think he has the ability to win a championship, maybe a couple. It takes some luck. It takes a few breaks. But part of why I think he got this extension, it's not just because he's a good coach, and it's not just because he works very well with Danny Ainge. It's because I think he has this great rapport with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are the two future stars of this team. Gordon Hayward, we talk about. Kemba Walker, we talk about. Marcus Smart, you know, obviously is young and part of in that same age group, a little bit older, but in that same age group as Brown and Tatum. But Hayward has only got a few years left, you know, whatever, 4 or 5. Kemba is in his 30s. He's probably only got 4 or 5 years of like high level play, but Jaylen Brown is only just going to enter next season, the first year of his second contract. Jason Tatum is going to agree to a max contract this offseason, but max contract extension. He still has one more year of his rookie deal left. When we look at some of these other rookies, a guy like Devin Booker, who's had I don't know how many coaches over his time, to have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart be here and have one coach, that continuity, that is important. And the other element to this is that Brad Stevens is not afraid of adjustment. He is not sitting here thinking like he knows everything. He has a style. He has a desire to play a certain way. But really, honestly, his style is move the ball, everybody read and react, and let's just make the best decisions on the floor. It's not like Mike D'Antoni, who is obviously going to be, he's obviously one of the best coaches in the NBA, just knowledge-wise. I don't think he's one of the best head coaches in the NBA because he has a certain style and he needs people to fit his style. My philosophy is this thing, we got to do this thing. And if players don't work within this thing, then it's not going to work. That's why he failed in New York. That's why he failed in Los Angeles. But I think Brad Stevens I think he's in the Greg Popovich mold. They will adjust to the players that they have. Like Greg Popovich was all about defense, defense, defense until his team proved to be a great offensive team. And then it was all about like offense, offense, offense. And then having a good enough defense to support the offense. So I think that the extension, obviously I agree with the extension. I think that Brad Stevens is an excellent coach. I think that he is very thoughtful in how he handles things. I think he is very malleable in his approach. I don't know that he's going to do any like genius kind of revolutionary things with his offense or his out of timeout plays, but the genius of his out of timeout plays is that they are simple. I think there are a lot of people out there that want to look at basketball like they're splitting the atom. And you'll see in some websites out there, some podcasts out there, people talking about basketball, and it is a complicated sport, but they really relish the complicated nature of the sport. What I like about Brad Stevens, and honestly, this fits my style too, the simplicity of it. Sometimes you just got to step back and be like, you know what? You don't need a million complicated, crazy things. Just keep it simple. A couple of simple things will get you open shots. Like the thing that I wrote on Mass Live a couple days ago about when the Celtics are in transition or even after a made basket, the center's running up the middle of the floor. And the ball handler is on one side and the eventual shooter's on the other side. And the big finds, if it's a 2-3 zone or if the opposing big is down deep in the lane, there's two guards up top, that big that's running up will just set a screen. And what he'll do is he'll set a screen that looks like he's going to spring a guy to the middle of the floor and then immediately turn around, rescreen, and open up the side of the floor. Is that complicated? No, it's a screen. It's a damn screen. And it's a rescreen. okay? But what ends up happening if when you see a setup, all you got to do is, okay, two guards up top, no problem. We're going to have our big do this and set the screen this way. So that guy has to fight over that screen, and then you turn around and then you stop him in those tracks. You bait the guy into going one way. You rescreen the other way. And because you've got a shooter in the corner and because you've got a big in the middle of the lane, then that just creates a big, huge, wide open, ready to shoot spot on that above the break three. Jaylen Brown loves those shots. Jason Tatum loves those shots. And even if they sniff it out, what ends up happening is human nature, they react, you drive by them, and then that creates chaos. Does it happen every time down the floor? No, it happens select times down the floor. But it's one of those very horribly simple things that gets you open shots. You're not reinventing the wheel. You're just saying like, oh, you're going to do this? We're just going to do this little simple thing. Boom, done. And I think that's the genius of Brad Stevens. You're not trying too hard. You're just trying hard enough. And that's enough. So I love it. I think it's great. That's enough about Brad Stevens. Up next, leftover mailbag questions. Got a few. Going to run through those when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. The other day I did a mailbag and I didn't get through all of the questions. A few of the questions came in after I started recording. One of the questions came in before that, but I forgot. So I'm going to answer some extra mailbag questions right now. At Adjectivo1977, rank the Celtics key by how they perform in one starter plus four bench lineups. Rank the Celtics by, I'm going to say it's rank the Celtics by how they perform in one starter plus four bench lineups. I'm going to say number one, at least in the bubble, Gordon Hayward plus four bench players has been awesome. Number two, in number two in the grand scheme of things will be Kemba Walker. So I think Gordon Hayward right now, number one. Kemba, number two, if he's fully healthy and playing his normal minutes. But a pseudo tie with Jason Tatum. And then Jaylen Brown is fourth. Jaylen with the bench players, that's not his game. That's just not his game. So right now, Gordon plus the bench players, I love Gordon plus four bench guys. That's just an awesome thing that's happening right now. Kemba's used to playing with four bench guys. Sorry, all of your Charlotte Hornets teammates. But so right now, so Gordon, Kemba, Tatum, Jaylen. Mike Pischel, who I used to work with, actually, he asked a question here. I'm trying not to get too excited, but the way the Celtics played versus the Grizzlies and Raptors, all playoff-level teams, has got me wondering, are they peaking at the right time? I think that that's pretty fair to say, especially because of how the bubble has worked. They came in, and look, Phoenix has come in and just dominated the bubble. They've caught a couple of breaks for sure because people thought, we're going to rest versus Phoenix. And if we lose, no big deal. And for those teams, it hasn't been a big deal. But for Phoenix, they've just kept on winning. The Celtics came in. Their focus has been getting ready for the playoffs. So this isn't just like peaking at the right time as wow. I can't believe it. They're actually peaking at the right time. The design by Brad Stevens and staff was to peak at this time. They specifically ramped up minutes for everybody to peak at this time. And the fact that they're peaking at this time means that the plan worked. And it's a credit to the players. It's a credit to the staff. It's a credit to everybody. This is what they wanted. And so they're doing it. Now, I'm going to ask another question from Mike Pischel, who gets one from Twitter and one from Instagram. He asked on Instagram, if you could have any one role player from past Celtics teams to add to this year's team, whom would you choose and why? It's, to me, the obvious answer is James Posey. How awesome would it be to have Pose coming off of the bench for this Celtics team? What do the Celtics need off the bench? Three-point shooting and defense. James Posey is everything we hope Shemi Ojeleye would be. James Posey would come in, and if he did exactly what he did for the 2008 Celtics, he could come in and be a huge impact guy off of the bench for this team. So to me, the absolute obvious answer, and I'm not going to go too deep because, you know, you can say, well, which role player? Well, John Havlicek was a sixth man. Kevin McHale was a sixth man. I'm not going to choose those guys. I'm going with legit role player and recent history. James Posey on this team would be dynamic. This is exactly what the Celtics would be looking for. At Eric J. Saint, why does it seem like Grant is suddenly out of the rotation? Well, Grant is a rookie, and I think the hiatus hurt him almost as much as it hurt Robert Williams. Now, Robert Williams has recovered and is ahead of Grant because maybe because it's his second year, maybe because he's had a year under his belt and has had some of those lessons hammered into him. So I think that Grant being a rookie, suddenly I think games are starting to be a little too fast for him. And the fact that he had to sit for so long, it's almost like it's the beginning of the season again for him. The game is moving so fast, and he just looks a step behind. And I came into this saying that Grant Williams was going to earn playoff minutes, and I was very wrong about that because he just hasn't been able to take control of that opportunity that he's had. And that's fine. It is what it is. The fact that Robert Williams has stepped up, I would much rather have Robert Williams be playoff ready right now than Grant Williams, because I think Robert Williams playoff ready adds such a dynamic element to this team. That's just more of what the Celtics need. Grant has been great. I think Grant will be part of this team for a while. I think Grant can be a contributor for a long time. He needs to get that three-point shot down. He needs to learn a few things. He needs to speed up a couple of things and slow down a couple of others when he's out there on offense. Like, speed up on defense, slow down on offense is my like quick synopsis of what Grant needs to do. But it's much more important for the Celtics that Rob is out there contributing. That really is, because that vertical pressure that he puts on rolling to the rim is just, that opens up so much. To have him be an effective role man with Marcus Smart opens up so much. I can't even begin to stress how important that is. Grant can't do that, but Grant can be an important player for the Celtics. And so that's just going to take some time. I'm okay with how it's going. I really am. So as long as Rob can keep doing this, cool. Last question, artificial sport fishing. Do you think Kemba Walker can go off at any time but is holding back to let the team get theirs? I feel like that is the case. This was asked before the Memphis game where Kemba had a big shooting night. I do think that Kemba holds back sometimes. It's not that he is purposely holding back, saying like, oh, Jalen and Jason and those guys. He really is, honestly, I think, taking whatever is available. And if he sees those guys are hot, then and he's cold, he'll gladly defer. Kemba is, and I've said this before, very much in the same mindset that Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett were when they were here in the 2007-2008 season. He's had a lot of individual success, a lot of playoff failure. He is just ready to sacrifice if he needs to, if it means a deep playoff run. All he cares about, seriously, you can see it when he talks. All he cares about is winning. All he cares about is getting past the first round of the playoffs, getting deep into the playoffs, and having a chance to win a championship. And honestly, if the Celtics win a championship this year or next or whatever, Kemba's going to be the guy I'm happiest for. Because Kemba, I really honestly believe in all of my interactions with him and all of my hearing him talk, he really genuinely is someone who just wants to, A, play basketball. Just want to play. And two, B, win basketball games. Whatever it is. Out on the courts, outside, YMCA, men's league, NBA, whatever it is, wherever he's playing. I really do believe that Kemba just wants to play ball all the time, and he just wants to win. And that's what makes him endearing. So he will go off when he goes off. I don't think he says to himself, I can go off, but I'm going to let these guys go. I think when the opportunity for him to go off comes, he'll take it. And at that point, he understands that at some point, they're going to overreact to me. So if I go off in the first quarter and score 15 in the first, I'm cool with scoring 20 in the game and only having five in quarters two through four if the double teams on me mean Jalen, Jason, and Gordon get going. So that's the best answer I can give to Art there. I don't think he's holding back specifically, but he's taking what the defense will give him, which is a cliche, but honestly, I do believe that he's really honestly trying to read what's happening and give the game what it needs. Thanks for listening. It's a long podcast for a show that's going to be probably irrelevant after this game because the game's at noon. And maybe you'll listen to this while the game is going on or before the game is over. But I really honestly, I thought about saying, well, I'll just do a post-game show. And that will be the Thursday show. But they're playing the Wizards. Everybody's sitting. I don't think a Wizards post-game show should trump the Thursday show. I'll do a Wizards post-game show. And the plan is actually special. I'll just say that. The plan is to have an actual... we're going to make that show special. And it won't just be me. It'll be two other guys. Leave it at that. So subscribe and get this show to your device wherever you are on whichever platform. You can get the show wherever. So subscribe, follow on Spotify, however you get your podcast, we're there. 5-star rating and a good written review would be awesome. Again, my book, which is so cool to say, my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, is available for pre-order now. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, major sellers, Walmart, wherever. independent booksellers. You can buy it through them as well. If you want to buy it through them, that's fine too. Just buy the book. I really put a lot of work into it. I hope you buy the book. That's all I can say. It's a fun book. It's going to spark some debates. I can promise you that. So do that. And also subscribe to the podcast. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.